This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas. We're always encouraged to know that God is using the Ark to bless people's lives. If you have a story to share about how God's working in your life, submit your story by visiting blessing.thearkchurch.com.
We've been doing a series called Mind Games, and I really think it's an important series because it really talks about some of the things that are the real, it's kind of like that missing link in the Christian life. Oftentimes people are like, well, I love the Lord, and why do I still have so many problems? It's like, I know, it's my parents' fault. If they weren't so messed up, I wouldn't be so messed up. And we say that, but I say it tongue-in-cheek, because a lot of times if you get very honest with people, they'll just look at you and go, I'm just messed up. And I understand that. But, the good news is you may have been messed up, but your history doesn't necessarily mean that's your destiny. And just because that's the way it was doesn't mean that's the way it has to be. I love that verse Jesus told his disciples one time. He says, with men, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And so it gives us, but a lot of times we're like, well, God, why don't you just do something with me because I'm messed up? And a lot of times that's an honest prayer. We often pray that for other people. God, why don't you do something with my spouse? They are messed up. But where the rubber hits the road is this. The Bible said in Romans 12:2, we don't have it up there on the screen, familiar passage, it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove it as that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what we're finding out is that you may have been genuinely born again, and your spirit recreated, everything, all the inheritance of God that belongs to you in Christ is yours. But what we're having to learn to do is we've got to learn to renew our mind, or the Bible says we'll be just like those who've never made Christ their Lord. And that's kind of a hard thought. Now, I say just like. Let me clarify that. We'll live just like. And so by renewing our minds, we begin to live differently. We begin to see things differently. It begins to affect our perspective on life and how we deal with things. And so as you begin to do that, and by the way, that's a process. You say, well, when do I ever finish? I don't think we ever do. I think it's a constant process. I know while we're on this earth, we can continue to grow. And then when we're in heaven, this is Alan's take. We don't know. Alan's take is we continue to grow while we're in heaven, that we continue to learn, because we will have no hindrances, and we're going to be able to see the goodness and grace of God on a regular basis, and that will be fun. But we're not there yet. So down here, we have to work on these things. So as we're talking about mind games, I'm going to go back into a subject that I kind of introduced last week, and then we're going to talk about warfare. But let's do this. Let's pray. Because I realize every time we come together, whether it's a Sunday or Wednesday, people come in, they have needs, they have questions, they have things going on in their hearts. But really, what you bring to the table helps me. Some people say, why don't you do on Sundays what you do on Wednesdays? Two reasons. One, Wednesdays has a different purpose. Two, Wednesday crowd is a little different crowd in terms of receptivity. Does that make sense? Wednesday crowd, many of you, and I know some of you can only come on Wednesdays, and I'm just glad you come. But there's a lot of folks that come on Sundays that mama drug them. They had a drug problem. They were drug across the parking lot into the church. And they're sitting there like this. And the receptivity is different. And so it actually does make a difference. Whether you realize or not, what you bring to the table when you come in actually makes a difference in what I'm able to minister. And I know that's kind of, you say, well, that can't be true. Well, mark the sixth chapter. Jesus went to his hometown, and in his hometown, they saw him, and they folded their arms up and went, we know you. We know your mama, your brothers. I worked at Kmart with your sister. I know you. You hometown. And the Bible said they were offended at him. And one of the verses right there, the first part of the chapter says, and he could do no mighty work there. Didn't say wouldn't. said he couldn't. Now, if that really messes with your doctrine, go read that. Because it said it limited what Jesus was able to do. But then he crosses the lake, and he runs across a group of people. They recognized him as a healer. They're dragging people out of sick rooms, dragging them into the street, saying, "Lord, you just come by and let us touch you. That's all we need." They had a massive healing revival. What was the difference? Jesus just got, he was mad at everybody in his hometown because he knew all of them, and he remembered, when you rub my nose in football. No. He loved them all. But one group received him, another group rejected him. And so does it make a difference? Sure. So when we come, you made the effort to come. You're here tonight. Might as well get something. I still believe this is better than sitting at home watching TV. I believe it's more profitable. You say, "Alan, you say that because you're a preacher." No, I say that because I genuinely believe that in all labor there's profit. And you take time and listen and attend to God's word, it will make a difference in your life. It has made a huge difference in my life. So I believe it. So, and y'all know I love y'all. Y'all are Wednesday night. I talk about y'all. In fact, what I want y'all to do is, when those of you who come on Sunday, I need you to bring some of that Wednesday into Sunday. It makes it easier for me to speak. Just asking for a little help up in here, y'all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this time. And we are thankful for your Spirit, which makes things real to us, makes things come alive. Thank you that your Holy Spirit empowers me to speak. And Lord, I ask you tonight for words that bring life and enlightenment. Father, give us hearts to hear. Give us hearts to understand. Minds that are open to receive. Help us, Lord. Renew our minds. Put these things into practice. Become more like you. Grow, and you get all the glory. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In the book of 2 Corinthians, we talked about this scripture passage last week. Need to go over it again. Paul made no bones about it. He said it's a contested, our life down here is contested. And you think, well, of course it's contested. I have all kinds of relatives that just contest me at every, no. It actually goes, I got bad news for you. It goes beyond your relatives. In 2 Corinthians says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Now, as we're talking about these things, this is we wage war, and you're like, waging war? What does that mean? Well, listen to the words. This is the NIV. Arguments, pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. Take captive every thought to make it obedient. So it sounds like that the warfare that we're dealing with is primarily impacting our minds. We're taking captive thoughts. We say, "Why? That's a silly idea to take captive thoughts." No, it's a biblical idea. But actually, all of us have done it at some point in time. You've heard me use this illustration before, but it bears repeating. Have you ever been driving on a bridge, one of these big bridges, and all of a sudden you get this thought, "Drive off the bridge"? Yeah. I know I'm not the only one. Just some of you are like, "Oh God, thank you. I thought I was crazy." No, it's a, these are thoughts. They're wrong thoughts. But how many of you know, obviously you have taken those thoughts captive because you're still here.
Amen.
But those are thoughts that you just can't allow. You can't allow those thoughts to run rampant.
Right.
And so what he's talking about, he said, there are strongholds. There are areas that have strongholds on us. And we have to pull them down. Some of you are thinking, "Well, I'm not addicted to anything. I'm not addicted to drugs. I'm not addicted to alcohol. How about worry?" You know, worry and anxiety can be a stronghold in your life. And if you were, and I can tell you something, if you were raised in a home where it was practiced freely, then that's going to be a challenge. I was raised in the home. Y'all just look ahead. I realize, you know, these kind of messages, sometimes you're like, "Who told?" I had a couple that came up to me one time. They're like, "Who told?" Who told? I mean, you were talking to us. I said, when I give people hugs, I put little bugs in their clothing, and that's how I hear everything that goes. I said, we've got a Holy Spirit, guys. But I was raised in a home where moods were acceptable. And, I mean, we could come in, and I could see my mom, and my mom, I'm the male, less attractive version of my mother. I mean, we look alike. And my mother and I, neither one could play poker for a living because we're very expressive in our look. And I'd come in, and you just walk in, you're like, uh-oh. Because Mama had that look on her face. We're like, oh, no. And you're like, what's wrong with Mom? So we're like, she's in a bad mood. I'm like, oh, that explains it. And in my family, all you had to say was, you're in a bad mood. I'm in a bad mood. I'm in a bad mood. And so in my family, guess what? Everybody was? Yeah, we're moody. I grew up moody. I had roommates in college who said, you know, Alan, about once a month, Alan just gets moody. I don't like the correlation of how that panned out. But they're like, I'm just in a bad mood. And so over the years, I grew up just being, and if I just had a mood hit me and I'm just in a bad mood, everyone else is supposed to understand. Oh, what's wrong? Alan's in a bad mood. No. Oh, that explains it. And so oftentimes people just, well, friends learned to avoid me when I was in a bad mood. Then I get married. Joyce, like, what's wrong with you? I'm in a bad mood. Joyce, like, well, snap out of it. Now, if you've grown up yielding to moods, guys, you're going to recognize that nothing makes you madder when you're in a bad mood than someone look at you going, just snap out of it. And, you know, and the thought never dawned to me, I don't have to be in a bad mood. So I stayed in them for a while. And a lady I worked with, I'll never forget her. I thank her to this day. Her name was Lucille Oates. Lucille was from East Texas, but she had a accent that just dripped Southern. She said, Alan, she looked at me one day, I'll never forget. And she said, and she was so sweet. She said, Alan, your moods are horrible. I don't know how you make horrible about five syllables, but they were horrible. And when she said it, something went off in me. And I never forgot, I went to the gym that night. And I was working out, and I was talking to the Lord and working out. And I said, Lord, that was you, wasn't it? Because my moods were horrible. Because no one taught me, you don't have to yield to bad moods. And so guess what? Bad moods had a stronghold on my life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But here's the good news. A stronghold, the Bible says, we have weapons that are not carnal. In other words, I don't just simply have to medicate. I don't simply have to do positive thinking. I've got God's divine word in His Spirit, and I can take this thing down.
Amen.
And I can testify today, and if you don't ask me, ask Joy, I'm not moody. I'm not moody at all. In fact, most of the time, I'm in a good mood. It's rare that if I'm in a kind of semi-bad mood, and when I'm in, I'm out just like that. It's no longer a stronghold in my life. Thank God. And everybody around me goes, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Joy used to call me the big bad bear. She's like, oh, you're in a big bad bear mood today. One time I was violently sick. We're on vacation. This is story night. I was violently sick. And we're on vacation, and I'm sick. I'm like, you're going to have to take me to the emergency room. And she said something to me, man, I snapped off at her because I'm sick. She looked at me, she said, well, one, if you want to get healed, I suggest you walk in love. And number two, if you want me to take you to the emergency room, I suggest you snap out of it. I'm sorry. Now take me. What? You, after a while, people get tired of living with moods. But I got good news for you. I don't care if you've been the moodiest thing around. And by the way, one of the things I didn't buy off on was that it wasn't my fault. I owned it. It's my fault. And if it's my fault and my responsibility, that means by the grace of God, I can come out of this. If you make excuses for it, you won't resist it and you won't come after it. So, oh, you didn't like that part. Well, it's not my fault. My whole family's this way. We're all this way. In fact, I'm the worst one of all of them. We're all of them. Hang on just 2 seconds. You got born into a new family. You have a new spiritual DNA. And you want to start using your words to work for you, not against you. And so you've been calling yourself moody and nasty all your life. Time to change. But you can. So, Paul goes on and begins to talk about the battle we're in. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 10. Now, Paul's talking. Remember, we already said we're dealing, this is kind of a warfare. The idea of taking captive thoughts is something that, and I'll explain, I'll go back to the moods in a second. He says, a final word, be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6:10, in the power of his might, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So Paul is talking about spiritual armor. Now, when he starts talking about this, He's writing about this in the book of Ephesians, and in Paul's books like Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. When Paul starts these books off, he always starts off at the beginning on real kind of a spiritual who we are positionally because we're in Christ. Then the latter part of the book becomes practical. And so in Ephesians, he talks about we're accepted in the beloved. We're redeemed. He talks about everything we have in Christ. But then in chapter 4, he starts talking about walking worthy of the Lord and walking different than the Gentile world that doesn't know the Lord. In chapter 5, he talks about husbands and wives and the marriage relationships. In chapter 6, he starts talking about being strong in the Lord. And then he goes into the armor of God. So the idea behind this, guys, is it's not theoretical, it's truth. That Jesus did not defeat Satan and then leave us. And all of a sudden we're like, Jesus, where'd you go? We're down here. And he's still bothering us. He's like, hang on. One, I defeated him. Two, you're not in his authority. You're not in his kingdom. And three, I left you armor. So that you are able to withstand against the wiles of the enemy. Now, if you just kind of take this as Paul was speaking only metaphorically. No, he is speaking as these are realities that when they're in our life can help us withstand anything that the enemy brings against us. You say, well, I just don't believe there's a devil. That is his greatest lie. Listen, if you don't believe there's a devil, then what took place in Orlando is what is unexplainable? No, there's an enemy, guys. He said he steals, he kills, he destroys. And somehow we as believers have got to stop getting focused on the people and get focused on a little higher realm that we're dealing with spiritual things. And we can't kind of wander through life just like everybody else who doesn't know the Lord acting like spiritual things don't exist. It's a real world. We don't have to be afraid of it, but we have to recognize it. And the spiritual armor that he talks about, and I'm going to jump to this. And the spiritual armor, let's look at this, verse 13. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll be standing firm. Stand your ground. Putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these things, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, he's given us this armor. I'll be honest with you. I have never seen the devil. I have never seen a demonic force. I've never seen him. I have certainly sensed presence before, but I've never seen them. So obviously this is not in the realm we're talking about. We're not talking about where we can see little demons and we're swatting at them with the sword of the Spirit. We're dealing a lot in our thought and in the realm of our mind. And so he said, you got to put on the armor. He said, but if you put on the armor, you'll be able to stand. You'll be able to stand. And the first thing he said is this. He said, put on the belt of truth. This is another reason I'm such a believer in reading your Bible. I know. You're like, oh gosh, here he goes again. Yes, here I go again. And I'm glad to go here again because I recognize this. I hope you get tired of hearing me say, read your Bible. Because when you get to heaven and the Lord says, did you read your Bible? You say, yes, sir, I did. He bothered me enough. And you would point to me. I'm like, I know how it changed my life. I know how it can change your life. See, when you find out the truth and you realize you're not a victim in life, it's one of the greatest things in the world. When you realize, I don't care what the doctor says, there's a higher report, that's one of the greatest things in the world. And so everyone that's told you that you're destined, that you're bipolar, that you're jacked up, that you're messed up, you'll be on medication for the rest of your life. Listen, there's nothing wrong with medication, but don't believe that that has to be your final destiny because God's got something better for you. And when you grab a hold of that truth, it'll change your life. Jesus said in John 17:17, Father, sanctify them or separate them by your truth. Your word is truth. And the Roman armor, the Roman that Paul used as an example, the belt held everything together. And it was the belt of truth. Actually, the breastplate rested on it. Your sword hung on it. It was really a key part of your armor. And he starts with truth. You have got to know truth. Jesus said, if you continue my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. If there's a truth that makes you free, there's a lie that brings you in bondage. Now let me go back to the moods. Remember, I'm the one with bad moods. And so I grew up that way. I thought that way. I just thought I'm a moody person. That's just the way I am. Ever heard that? That's just the way I am. You have to love me as I am. Now, I'm going to love you, but I don't have to love you as you are. I'm hoping you change. In fact, that's why our number two value is willing to change. Everyone quotes, come as you are and be willing to change. Y'all miss that? Come as you are. We're all like, yay, willing to change. Ooh. But the idea, I love willing to change because that means I can change. I think it's the worst thing in the world. Someone look at you and go, you'll never do anything. You'll never go farther than you are right there. That's one reason I love the kingdom of God and being in the kingdom of God, because I can grow as much as I want to grow. I can learn as much as I want to learn. I can become as Christ-like every day. Paul said, I forget the things that are behind me. I am pressing for the goal of the prize of the upper call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing that way. Hey, and he didn't write that. And only you preachers get to press. The rest of you just hang in there. The idea is that we can change. And so when I thought, that's just the way I am, as long as I'm thinking, that's just the way I am, I'm not going to do anything about it. Well, Mama was moody. You should have seen her mom. Whole family would get together and share moods together. And you'd say, well, you know, and you think, I grew up that way, that's the way. So that's the lie you buy into. Here's the truth that supersedes that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and lust. So I begin to find the truth. Whoa, wait a minute. The fruit of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of my Spirit working in me is love and joy and peace. So I can be a person. Ready for this? Instead of being moody, I don't have to be moody. I can be a person of love, joy, and peace. Well, Alan, I just feel moody. Hey, I didn't say that feelings weren't there. When I decided that I was going to start to combat that, I can't say that feelings weren't there. But here's the great truth. Feelings do not supersede God's truth. You can feel, have you ever come in here and just felt like, dear Lord, I don't hardly feel like I'm saved. You ever feel that way? I have. I'm the pastor. But I learned a long time ago, I don't have to live by what I feel. And you don't either, and you don't really. Some of you didn't feel like going to work today. Got an amen there, Francis? Yeah. Amen. Did you go? Yeah. But we went anyway. We've learned, some of you had a boss, you feel like slapping him in the head. In Jesus' name. But you don't. Because you know that if I acted on that feeling, then that's going to get me in trouble. I could be fired or put in jail. So you don't act on it. Sometimes you just feel like someone pulls out in front of you and just cuts you off. You just feel like, I just feel like I could take my gun and shoot all the tires out of your car. Don't call me to come bail you out. You will go to jail. And you learn, I don't act how I feel. I don't ram them. I don't. And after a while, you don't even have to cuss at them anymore. There's the truth. Hey. That truth will set you free.
Amen.
What am I saying? But you got to know the truth. And the truth is, when I became in Christ, I became a new creation. Old things passed away. All things became new. So now I'm renewing my mind. I can walk in love. I can have the joy of the Lord. I don't have to yield every time I have a feeling or a mood. Does that make sense? So the more I find out truth, the more I'm like, wait a minute. I don't have to live this way and make everybody around me miserable. I can change. Amen. And what a wonderful thing that is. You say, well, Alan, you're just a strong-minded, strong-willed. No. I'm someone just like you who got saved by grace, who's been empowered by God's Spirit, who has His Word, and that the more I know truth, the freer I walk. You say, are you getting free still, Alan? Of course. We're all in the process of getting free. It's just some of us are freer than others. That's why the Bible said, you who are strong, put up with the weaknesses of those without strength and don't displease yourself. So in other words, when we get stronger, we ought not look, I tell you what, you ought to step out of that mood. You ought to know, go, no. Darling, I remember being there, but I want to tell you something, you don't have to live there.
Amen.
You don't have to be there anymore. So you can get stronger and stronger. And the stronger you get, the better it gets. Put on the belt of truth. That's why you read your Bible, you begin to find truth out. Then it said, put on the armor of righteousness. And I'm going to go into all that. That simply means being right with God. And knowing that you're in right. Jesus positionally made us right with God when we made Him our Lord. But now we begin to walk in that, and that's armor. Because when you have a confidence in your heart that you're doing the right thing and you're right with God, you're ready for anything that comes your way. The shoes of the gospel of peace, that's really the preparation, always ready to share the gospel of peace or understanding that you have in your walk. It's a walk of peace with God. Now, let me get to the one I wanted to talk to tonight, and I've just got a few minutes, so let me roll fast. The shield of faith with which you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So fiery darts, I have never seen an arrow come my way. Okay, how about this? You ever get a phone call? And it just goes right straight to your heart. Ever have someone say something to you? And it just, it hits you. Ever pull up your Facebook page? And just something just absolutely just pain you in your heart. Anybody? That's real. And he said, the shield of faith, you can put up. The shield of faith, that's where we start to get active in this. You pull up your Facebook page and your friend now has the man of her dreams, and she's getting married, and she's going on this wonderful destination married, and you've been single for a long time, and it just, and then the fiery dart comes, and you'll never be married, and no one loves you. You say, oh, that doesn't happen. Yeah, it does. It happens on Facebook all the time. Psychologists are now having to deal with people who are depressed because they're reading Facebook, which, by the way, guys, if you haven't figured it out yet, is not necessarily reality. It's brand management. People are out there, they're putting up the Disney World version of their life. And they're like, and my life is wonderful. And people look at it and they go, I was happy until I saw that and I saw that and I realized I'm such a loser. And then he goes, you're right, you are a loser. And what are you going to do? Well, you could keep torturing yourself or you could begin to put up the shield of faith. How in the world do you do that? That's when you begin to take God's truth and you begin to say, no. You take that thought and you go, no, I'm not a loser. I'm a new creation in Christ. And God has blessed me with His favor and God's blessings are upon me. What are you doing? begin to put up a shield of faith. And I believe, as if I'll honor the Lord, I believe He'll honor me. He'll give me the desires of my heart. I believe one day I'll be happily married. I believe there's somebody for me. Thank you, Lord. What are you doing? That's a shield of faith. That's not just taking the arrows that come in and you're just going, I guess I am a loser. I'm just going to go eat more chocolate ice cream because I'm a loser anyway. It doesn't matter. You got a gallon. You serve a gallon of Bluebell in the refrigerator. Great. I eat the whole thing and I'll dip it out with Oreos. I mean, I'm just going to eat. And we laugh, and some of you are laughing going, how did he know? How did he know? The shield of faith, the Bible says, is able to quench all. And listen, by the way, you say, that stuff doesn't bother me. Facebook doesn't bother me. Oh, believe me, there's an arrow with your name on it. Mm-hmm. And it may not be Facebook. It may be something else. And so you're going to have to understand that the enemy shoots arrows, and if it doesn't bother you, he's not going to bother you with things that don't. But he, the Bible says we're not ignorant of his strategies. And so the shield of faith, what am I saying is, faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's word. That's why I tell people, find some scriptures. I talked last week about panic attacks, and I talked with some people that are dealing with panic attacks. I tell them, listen, you've got to have some scriptures to fight with. You've got to have something when those arrows start to come and say, you have panic attacks. You're going to wind up in a mental ward. You're never going to get out of this. And those arrows just coming. You need something besides trying to duck them. You need something to stop them. And you stop them and go, oh, no, I'm not. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I believe the love that God has for me. And if I'm born of God, I'm more than a conqueror. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. I don't know all this. You don't have to be a preacher to know all these. Find some verses that pertain to what you're dealing with. And begin, and I told people, begin to speak them out loud. Why speak them out loud, Alan? Well, not if you're in your cubicle at work. Don't be going, I'm standing against you, Satan. Don't do that at work. But I've actually gone into the restroom and had some scripture cards when I'm just dealing with problems, and just got in my little stall and quietly to myself read through them. Say, I was going through a difficult time and I was reading those scriptures. What am I doing? I'm my shield of faith. I got to have it up. You got to have something. You got to have something that you can combat that with. So I told somebody, find scriptures. If you're dealing with fear, one of the greatest verses, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. So y'all listen so well. It's y'all's fault that I didn't get to finish this whole message. It's not my fault. It's y'all's fault. No, y'all really did listen well. Would you bow your heads with me just for a second? We'll go. If you came this evening and said, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord, and I know that, but I would like one. Or if you're here and you say, Alan, I've gotten away from God. I am what the Bible really refers to as backslidden, gone away from God. But I really want to come back. We're going to say this evening just a very short, simple prayer. And sitting right there in your chair, we're not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front. We're going to pray. And this is a powerful prayer. This prayer can change everything for you. So if you're here tonight, you say, Alan, I need a relationship with the Lord and I really want that. Or you say, Alan, I need to come back. Would you pray for me? Listen, would you just have the courage to slip your hand up across this? No one's looking. We're not going to call you out. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I see your hands. Thank you. Yes. Right there in the middle. Yes, and there. In the back? Great. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand and you think, oh, I missed my chance. No, no. You can jump right in on this. God sees hands and He sees hearts. And we're going to pray this right from your heart. I'll lead you in it. We're all going to pray it with you. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I am a new creature in Christ because I've said yes to You. Father, thank You for those that prayed that prayer. Thank You, Father, regardless of what they feel, that change has taken place. And some have come out of darkness into light, and some have simply come back into fellowship with you. And I thank you for the wonderful future that you have for each and every one of them. Father, for all of us here, thank you that you did not leave us helpless. You gave us your word, your armor, your spirit, and we win. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.